Martin Midday. This is Sports World on 882 6PR.
With Mark Reddings and Kim Hagdon, thanks to Michael Stamp for that cricket update. Time to talk to cricket royalty. He's now got his feet up, resting after a wonderful career. Fourth on the all-time list of Australian wicket takers at test match level with 313. Mitchell Johnson joins us on Sports World. Good morning, Mitchell.
Yeah, good day. Thanks for having me, guys.
Great to have you on. I'll tell you what, if you were playing in this test series against the West Indies, that 313 could quickly be about 330, 340. They're making a mess of them, Mitch, in Hobart.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure how many wickets I would have got there, but they haven't really performed that well. So I saw Jimmy Pattinson bowl and I was really, really happy for him. So he's spent a fair bit of time out of the game, worked on a few things, and he's one of those guys that's worked really hard, so I'm really happy for him.
Mitch, everyone says that once you make the decision to retire, very few look back in a month or two and say, look, I've made the wrong decision. Everything sits comfortably with you. The process, the way you ended, very comfortable with it all?
Yeah, I am very comfortable, very happy. And it's a cliche, but they say a weight has lifted off my shoulders, and it definitely has. So I've definitely made the right decision, and I can sit there and watch the game and have a beer and really enjoy it now.
So if you're having a beer and enjoying the game, you'd be sitting with Mark Reddings probably. Hey, Mitch, it's Kim Hagdon here. Why have you decided not to even play in the BBL with the Scorchers, though?
Why? Look, I think the decision that I made was I just wanted to get away from the game and really enjoy Christmas with the family, and that was a big decision as well, was the family time. So look, it definitely was a consideration, but I would have had to have started training pretty much after I retired, so I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to relax with the family and see in the new year and then go from there. So it's an option for next year.
Okay, I was just going to say, will you reconsider it to possibly play with Perth for next summer's Big Bash? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's other tournament, 2020 tournaments around the world, and IPL and the Caribbean League and things like that, and back to the Big Bash at the end of the year. So they're definitely options.
Are you getting some big offers to play in some of those Premier Leagues around the world? Because I think you've got one more commitment with the IPL in April, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. If the team, my team, Kings 11 Punjab, come to me and want me to play, and like I said, I'm willing to play. So, look, there's been some offers there, but I know there was a few thrown around for this year's Big Bash, and really I wanted to stay in Perth and play at the Scorchers, and it really doesn't, to me, it wasn't about money or anything like that, like some people might think, but it was really more about I just wanted to spend some time with my family.
Mitch, that ridiculously, flat, unresponsive Perth pitch that you played on for your last test, was that that tipped you over the edge, or had you pretty much sort of made your call that you were probably going to go out after the Perth test anyway?
I had the ball in my hand, and it didn't feel right from ball one in that test, and I had moments in the Brisbane test where I didn't feel quite right, and it's been a bit of a process, to be honest. Over the last year, it's been a huge year, and really looking ahead, I didn't feel like there was anything there for me to achieve, and team-wise, I wouldn't play another World Cup, it's in 4 years' time, and an Ashes series, I just didn't feel I could make that. So, the wickets are what they are, and we've played on a lot of flat wickets around the world, and they used to be the things that I loved, those challenges of flat belters, as they say. So, it could have been a little part of it.
And look, the flat belters, in some instances, the longer your career went, the more damaging you become. And you had some ebbs and flows at certain stages, but the last few years, you were just destructive. Some of those pitches were done deliberately to thwart your strength.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, over in England during the Ashes, there wasn't too much assistance for us quick bowlers. And I think on those wickets, the faster you bowl, the easier it is as well. Mm-hmm. But look, like I said, that's what I loved about the game, the challenges, the different wickets we played on. But in the end, all I wanted to do was play on fair wickets that, bat and ball had the same contest. You could see that from the sidelines or whether you're watching it at home, that there was something, happening. But I always tried to make the most of it and always gave 100%.
Mitch, as viewers of the Ashes, we obviously rode the highs of when you destroyed the arch enemy here in Australia, but also, I guess, the pain that you must have gone through, and we as viewers of a couple of series over there where it didn't quite go right, and obviously, most recently, when we were warm favourites and How do you look back on your career in just in Ashes terms?
Yeah, it's definitely been up and down in Ashes, and I actually don't mind that because it's so built up, the Ashes. That's, you know, cricket history, and to actually be involved in those moments, I'm really proud of. So, yeah, look, I'm sure there'll be moments that, you know, I can look back and sort of probably be a little bit embarrassed about, but at the same time, I really did learn from those lessons, and it's made me a better player and a better person. So, look, I really enjoyed every moment I had in those Ashes, and it was just nice to be able to win it 5-0 in Australia. It would have been nice to go over there this year and win there as well, but it wasn't to be.
Mitch, you identified at a fairly youngish age as someone who could play and would probably play for Australia, and got brilliant coaching, brilliant mentoring, support. But you've been through the ups and downs. You've been a match-winning bowler. You've been an inspiration. As a consequence, your shape is someone to me that would be a good coach or mentor. Will you coach post-career?
Yeah, look, I'm definitely keen, mm-hmm. and I'm keen to give back to the game, and I feel I'm in a great position to do so. You know, the amount of cricket that I've played now and the experience that I've got. So I know Ryan Harris is really enjoying it, you know, speaking to him the other day, and, mm-hmm. you know, we keep in close contact, but he's doing a bit with the under-17s, and he loves it. So, look, I'm going down that same sort of path, I think, and actually I have a bowling app, BowlFit, coming out, so that's a bit of a plug there, but look, it's all about fast bowling and how to improve your strength and your technique, so I'm definitely really keen.
One of the biggest cause in my tummy is how Cricket Australia have been soft on a lot of developing bowlers in the last decade or so, I reckon, Mitch. What's your attitude to protecting the bowlers, preparing them, and consequently against as to why we've got so many bowlers that keep breaking down?
Yeah, look, I think there's a few things there, and Brett Lee's come out pretty strongly about just bowling, going out there and just bowling. And I agree with him, but I think there's still the aspect of getting stronger as well. I think you need to do the right things in the gym. It's mm-hmm. not about being, He-Man in the gym and lifting heavy weights. But, I look at it when I grew up. I wasn't in the spotlight. I was playing for Queensland and breaking down. So these guys are Pattinsons and the Hazelwoods and the Starks, they're doing it out in the scene. You know, everyone's watching them and critiquing them. So I think that's the only difference. People were breaking down, and it's just now that these guys are being seen all the time.
Mitch, and you talk about the Australian team as it stands now, and it's a rebuilding phase. How quickly do you think it will take? I mean, we all talk about the Ashes as the next target, because given the state of the West Indies and other nations at the moment, there's not a lot of depth in Test cricket. How long before you think we're have the number one Test ranking again?
Oh, look, it's going to be difficult, isn't it? I saw a little bit of the India-South Africa series, and India just dominated South Africa, who are by far the best team in the world at the moment. And look, it's going to be a great little period, but I think having the staff behind the guys, there's some experience there as well, with Steve Smith taking over as captain and Davey Warner there. And look, I think we've got a great side. We're going to have our losses here and there, but I think we're in a great shape. And the test will be when we come up against those top sides. We did struggle in the Ashes, and we had some experience there, but we just need to play more on good wickets like that.
Mitch, you're speaking brilliantly well. I've got two questions to put you on the spot and might create some headlines for us. Look, I've become really annoyed with the DRS process. I mean, to me, if we're going to have the technology, if it's tipping the stumps and it's an LB or whatever, if it's hitting the stumps, it's out for mine. Yep. But have you got a view on the DRS process?
Look, they just haven't got it right yet. Simple as that, really. Yeah. I think, there's technology in every sport now that's changed. You look at the tennis with the ball where it's landing, and they can see all that, and it's over and done with really quickly. And it seems like the process is really long and dragged out with ours sometimes, and it's quite frustrating. But look, I think they need it needs to be 100%. Those decisions where it is tipping the stumps, like with, if you get the decision, you've made that decision. Then you basically should get that back if it doesn't go your way as a team. So we always talk about those things, but We, as players, I don't think we really have any chance of changing those things, to be honest.
Well, you might, now that you're retired, you can become more vocal.
Yeah, well, I'm still on contract, so I have to be careful.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Well, you might have to be careful with this one, too, because it's very parochial. Your future Scorchers teammate, Sean Marsh, should he play in the Boxing Day test? Is he going to hold his spot?
Yeah, definitely. He's performing. I think you pick guys who are performing. That's just the way it's always been. If you're not performing, you miss out. So there was always that pressure, I know, when I was playing, and you had young guys coming through, and if you're not performing, getting wickets for me, that was my job, and it's getting runs for those guys as the batters. So look, it's going to be hard not to pick him. Who do you leave out? That's the question. You know, Joe Burns has done well in the last series. He hasn't started as well as he would have liked here, but Khawaja's done exceptionally well also. So it's, good luck to the selectors.
Mitchell, it's been a wonderful career, and we congratulate you on it. Best of luck for the future. I must admit now I'm just having to keep track of your life through the social pages. That's where you're bobbing up every now and then with your lovely wife. So
I'll try my best.
Enjoy going to the opening of all the events around town, and most importantly, enjoy your retirement, and thanks for joining us on Sports World this morning.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Mitchell, good on you, Mitch.
Mitchell Johnson.